Mike.
Hello. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm
Good,
great,
good.
thank
How
you.
are
I'm
you?
sorry about last week, but you know what? I went back to being a broker. I get busy.
No, it happens. I understand.
Yeah.
So, what's going on?
Well, I'm going to start off with the anecdote that I just heard. There was an over under on how many yards Patrick Mahomes would run. And they were over, and then the last couple of plays when he ran backwards to kill the clock, the people who had the over did not win. This is what our world is coming to, is to criticize the fact that the guy was trying to win a game and they want to pick him up because he didn't get the over under for them. I think that's very, very, very telling at this point in time.
Doesn't it? It's a
I
very
you know
shallow world.
I haven't gambled on football, and I can't even remember how many years it was. And I just want to enjoy what it is. I don't watch a lot of football. I watch the Super Bowl. I found it to be a lot of fun, very entertaining, and we go from there. But so get that. What's going on? You know what's going on? Things are moving along pretty well. I just opened a new account on Friday as a referral, $1.7 million. They live in Israel. It was referred to me by the brother who's a client of mine. Just met with one of the books that I'm going to be taking over. We just met with another client that's transferring in. It's $1.7 million. So all of a sudden, we're starting to see bigger accounts. And I find
Yeah,
that
I'm on account
very, very
in New York City.
comfortable
Okay, that's good. That's
in terms
great.
of that. It's starting to see it more. People are asking more about how I'm doing. When I see them, we're doing. Although I'm tired of going out to dinner during the week, but we've been socializing a little more at night. We were at a dinner on Friday night at the club, and I'm standing at a table, and one of my clients says, "Oh, so this is what my stockbroker does on a Friday night, but at least he tells people what I do, and he's not unhappy
Sure.
with my performance." So it's I just want to continue to grow my advocates. I still have my tie into Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville. I'm hopefully almost done with that. They got to find a manager up there, but I just board meetings are going well. They're starting to. You tell me where this fits in, because I just had a call. The CFO and the development person just called me because somebody just made a donation to the agency, a stock donation of about $75,000 or $80,000. Mike, how should we handle it? Not that I can't handle it, but I said, what should we do with it? Where should we put it? How and hold on to it as cash? I mean, so that's now becoming my consultation, in addition to which they made me the treasurer.
Good.
Things are happening in rapid succession, where at the end of the year, from the time I was stepped down in August, it was a slow build up, and now it's every time I turn around, there's something else going on.
So, where are you in terms of wanting to move forward, in terms of getting better organized, building more, networks of referrals? What do you feel you need to work on?
Well, the organization is definitely getting better. I mean, somebody puts a sheet on my desk every day with the calls that I need to make to clients. Just the general "Hi, how are you?" calls. And today it happened to have coincided with some unit trust investments that were coming due, smaller ones. But so I'm, I make the calls, and one person on the list I spoke to the other day. It's starting to get a flow as to who I need to speak to, and just the "Hello, how are you?" calls. I get more positive response from the "Hello, how are you?" calls than anything else.
That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And the other thing that I've been doing, Rob, which I just did right before we got, we've been putting out a lot of information. Today, I put one out the other day, was talking about, you know, impeachment in the market. You know, just a piece that I sent to, you know, blast email to my clients. Today, I just sent one out, said the coronavirus volatility should be transitory due to healthy underlying fundamentals. I'm just trying to keep them informed and keep my name in front of them. And some I get responses from, some just read it, and some may not do anything with it. So, you know, so there is a method to my madness going forward.
In terms of structure, do you want more structure to your process on acquisition, or are you good with what's going on now?
I don't think yet. I mean, I think the, you know, the referrals or the people asking, the acquisition process for me is that I'm starting to, well, let me run this by you. So one of the people that I would like to make a center of influence, all right, he's an estate planning attorney, an elder care attorney. He's doing a seminar, in a week and a half, 2 weeks. And he invited me to come to the seminar. And I'm going to go. And then he personally sent me an email saying, I'm glad you're coming. I'm glad you're coming to attend and listen to what's going on. It's the connection. You know, that seems to be the slowest process, is making the, you know, making the center of influence connections.
What about doing a seminar with him?
No, I want to. And we tell you, I talked about it briefly. I'd like to be able to bring him to the club. I have three seminars that I would like to do. I just haven't been able to put it together. One is with the nutritionist at the club. You know, just bring her out and let her get together with some of my clients. A small seminar. One would be to do an estate planning seminar. You know, not necessarily, but hand pick the invitees. And he happens to be the attorney that just redid all of my documentation. And the other one is just, I think I mentioned this to you, the First Trust does this thing called a Jeffersonian dinner. I just haven't been able to make the time, and I need to just, that's the organizational part. I need to be able to block the time to set it up and invite the people. But that one is just a non-event dinner sponsored by First Trust, but come with an objective of, tell us about your best vacation. I think I mentioned it to you before. Tell us the best gift you ever got, and just create a conversation with about, you know, six couples in a room, and just get them to know each other, and have a couple bring a friend. You know, however it works. So that's just for, you know, getting new accounts.
I just the person before you, it's very organized.
Yeah.
You know, very disciplined, very, very good team. She does 12 to 14 seminars a year. They're client seminars with basically invites her clients and they bring a friend. They contend that's all they need to do. I've never, you know, I haven't heard about anybody doing something like that for years. But I'm going to, you know, find out more next time I talk to them. But
right.
I was kind of taken back by that, thinking that's it? That's all you do? Yep, basically it. Yeah. Very successful team. So clearly they've got something going on. So, you know, and they will, here's what we ended up talking about. I said, so why don't you create a 24-month marketing calendar and kind of coordinate that with your 24-month information and training calendar for your clients. Okay.
Yeah.
So as part of Supernova, you remember we have our 24-month calendar of topics that we're going to introduce to our clients. And I think there are 8 new topics over a 24-month period. Well, they would coordinate those 8 topics plus obviously add 4 more, you know, whatever they're doing. Anyway, the idea would be you do a topic on, you know, required minimum distribution or the new tax law or the coronavirus or whatever the hell you felt like talking about, right? And
yeah.
And just do one a month. Be kind of cool. Especially where you have good clients that like you and want to help you. It's an easy
right.
way for them to bring introduction, isn't it?
I'm sorry, that was
Hello?
Not me. I'm here.
Okay.
That was John.
Okay. So, I mean, what do you think of that? Is that crazy?
Yeah, no, it's crazy because probably I'm not necessarily the seminar guy. I mean, I can do it. You know, I have to wait and see. I just, you know, that's I like personal interaction. That's why the smaller,
mm-hmm. yep.
intimate meetings
yep.
that have no. I like it to have limited structure. I don't want it to be like I've never done anything where I'm selling something. You know, and that's, I mean, the information, the gamble. So here's a, one of the pieces that I sent out was on the Secure Act. You know, I mean, I've sent any number of, and I get into conversations with some people, but it's just keeping it in front of people and, you know, and making sure that my name stays in front of them at this point in time. So it's
mm-hmm.
and I come back to the same thing I say all the time. It's really interesting to see how people appreciate just sending the information, you know, and not have a badger. But when I get on the phone, it's always a conversation, you know, where it's going and what we're doing. I mean, it's been a lot of it really has been far less conversation regarding the impeachment. I mean, that, to me, that was a pretty much non-event with regard to the market, you know.
Right.
And I don't think there were a lot of people that cared. But something like this coronavirus is, you know, is something that's on everybody's mind. You know, I sent the first healthcare piece out on January 27th. You know, then I sent another one out today. I just want them to know because, you know, when the market was down last Monday, you know, people would call and I'd sit there and go, the market has a virus. I said, I don't know what else to tell you. I said, there's nothing fundamentally that has changed. And today I got into a conversation. I said, whatever, if this is the excuse for a correction, we have to run through. We don't make any changes, you know, with regard to that. So I'm working real hard to keep my name in front of everybody with, you know, kind of an appreciation.
Great. That's good. Niches or centers of influence inside niches. Talk about those.
Well, it seems to be the Kids in Distress, the one charity that I'm on. You know, I'm just kind of there. I still run the finance committee, but I don't see that growing or having any potential to grow, although there are more new people on the board that don't necessarily – I haven't been as active. But the Florence Fuller,
mm-hmm.
the new one, is definitely
mm-hmm.
getting more, you know, more feedback, you know, in terms of what it is. You know, I said I want to meet with the people that run the money of the, you know, of the foundation. And that was set up. It's on my calendar. I'm going to meet with them because I have a few questions to ask them in terms of what they do and how much they charge and what have you. So
mm-hmm.
they've never had that before. So I now am getting exposure as the finance guy, you know, the guy that has an idea of what's going on. And I'm getting more questions asked. When I went to a general retreat, there were a couple of other people that do wealth management, you know, and so, you know, there's a little bit of competition, but if I'm working within my niche of this foundation board, I'm happy about that. And I've made a connection that's kind of going to be an old connection with one of the attorneys that's on the foundation board and see if I can get together and work with her. see if there's things that we can do.
Great.
The other thing in answer to that question, so I went to First Trust. They have some good lunch seminars, not necessarily to sell you anything, but 2 weeks ago I went to a seminar or a lunch meeting with them, and they had a guy that's talking about how to, you know, work on your business. You know, not necessarily, I guess it's his version of coaching, but one of the things that resonated with me that I really liked is set up an appointment to meet with a center of influence and not do lunch. Say, I just need 15 minutes, you know, see if we can get 15 minutes on the calendar, go in there and sit with him or her and say, you know, just out of curiosity, when you need some, who do you send your financial, you know, planning to? To see what it is and see if there's any opening there for me as an individual. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to start. I thought that was a pretty, you know, interesting way of going about it. Not lunch, just do a quick, I need 15 minutes of your time. Because lunch gets into just a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, the key to working with centers of influence is always be moving the ball down the field.
Right.
Closing for the next appointment and knowing before you go into the appointment what you're closing for. So when you go into that meeting, what are you closing for? What's your next step? So in the workbook, I give you 5 steps. So regardless of how you meet the person, lunch or breakfast or coffee or nothing.
Right.
The important thing is that you're moving towards a destination that you clearly know. All right. So
right.
My suggestion is the first meeting is introduce the topic of working together. Okay, so you got just like a client. You got to like them. You got to trust them. They got to like you, trust you. You got to respect them. They've got to respect you, right? And then they have clients that meet your minimums. So those are the things you're going to find out in the first meeting. Okay, I like you, trust you. You listen to financial advisors, you respect what I do, and your clients meet my minimum. Okay?
Yep.
So, then what do you close for next? It's not just call me when you got somebody, or I'll call
right.
you when you got somebody. That doesn't work. So, my suggestion is this. Your next meeting is in his store. So you take John and you go there and you meet his staff and he tells you more about his practice. Who is your ideal client? How are you organized? How much do you charge? You want to know everything that you'd want to know if you're going to open up a relationship with a financial advisor, right?
Right.
So you want to know all about his practice. You know, what do you specialize in? If I was going to describe your practice to somebody, how would you describe the service experience? And he'll go, blah, blah, blah. Right. All right. So then next, you invite he and his assistant to come to your office. By the way, when you're at his office, meet all the other partners and anybody else. There's a good comment here. Meet anyone that's going to touch your client. Okay.
Just making a note.
Yeah. So the next meeting is at your office, and you go through the 5-star model. And I suggest you use that because it will give your presentation structure. So planning,
okay.
implementation of the planning process. So we call it director of planning, director of implementation, director of brand management, director of marketing, and managing director or director of leadership. Okay, so those are the five jobs. You're doing all of them because you're a sole proprietor.
Right.
But you can talk about each topic because each topic is important. So planning, every client gets a plan, multi-generational plan. Okay.
That I've been implementing. I send every client meeting, they go home with a folder.
Good.
So that I've been working on.
Director,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So implementation is your investment process. Okay?
Right. Yep.
You talk about the investment process in your 24-month calendar of topics that you're going to discuss on the 12-4-2s. Then you go into the 12-4-2s appointments and then introduce your rapid response manager who gives 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. Then you talk about your marketing initiatives. And then you talk about how you pull the whole thing together and manage the accountability. Key to leadership is accountability. So how do you hold yourself and your team accountable? Then you have these series of meetings. You know, even though it's just you and John, you meet on Monday, meet every day, we meet formally on Monday and Thursday or whatever, and go through the five stars and make sure we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And he'll be like, wow, that's very impressive.
Separate thought, Rob, just so before I lose it,
as you well know
that we can. In your conversations with your people that you're working with, has Reg BI come up at all? We have a big meeting on that tomorrow. Has anybody talked about, I mean, the business should, if you're doing the business this way, it shouldn't be an issue. But has it come up as a discussion?
Yes, it is. It came up with Touchstone, who's one of my sponsors. And they said Supernova is perfect for Regulation BI.
Right.
Best interest. They said, if somebody's doing Supernova, you don't really have to do anything else.
Right.
Okay. And if they're not doing Supernova, they've got to do everything that Supernova includes.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy. You know, we just sort of. So track, you know, what are you doing? You're doing a financial plan so you know your client, right? Know your client.
Right. Right.
You're calling them every month. Call your clients regularly. Document the call, which we do with a folder. The client takes their own notes. And then we follow that up even better with an executive summary, which avoids the I say, you say problem of, you know, I didn't agree to that. All right?
Yeah.
So we've pretty much covered the waterfront as long as you use, you know, whatever system you're using, you know, to document the call. Some people make you put it into Salesforce, other computer systems, but basically what's in your folder. Oh, the agenda too. The agenda says I know what the client is, and this is how I'm fully implementing their financial plan because I'm using an agenda, which isn't just taking the low-hanging fruit, but we're working through everything that the client needs.
Right.
And we're updating the agenda regularly, which means we're updating the financial plan.
I'm just going to update regularly. Okay. Because John and I was talking to John about it today, in terms of Reg BI and, you know, where it is, you know, the environment you came out of, they wanted everybody to be fee-based, but not every account needs to be fee-based. You know, we had a this new account that we're opening today is $1.7 million in municipal bonds. That's all they buy. You know, they're an older couple. That's really what they want to do. They have a trust. It's set up. And so the answer was, well, let's see. We'll go through 1 year, see how many bonds, you know, get called and matured. And if it comes out to be that we're doing commission and it becomes more, and it's more effective us to do it on a fee base, then we'll do it on a fee base. So we opened it up with that and let it resonate. And ultimately, the decision will be made that they probably should be in a fee-based account. But, you know, when I look at it and sit there.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, you can get such a good deal on municipal managers now, you know, what do they charge, three-eighths or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hardly you can buy the bonds. From. The only thing is, I would just reserve some money to buy some unique bonds that you're going to, you know, non-callable, buy and hold if you can get a deal.
Right.
But it's pretty rare today that you get a deal on Muni, so I probably wouldn't bother because it's just too much hassle.
Yeah, I mean, I have one account that I buy blocks of 250, so the desk, they work them pretty well for me, you know, to see where it is. And,
Yeah, you buy $10,000 bonds, you're in trouble. But if you can buy,
I'm not looking to buy tens. You know, these people were talking 20s today, but you know, you got to buy a bigger chunk than that. So, but you know, this is an interesting account. So Bob, who I work with, he got a referral from a woman at Morgan Stanley in West Palm Beach who's retiring. Now, I find that interesting is that another broker gave the referral from another firm. I got a kick out of that.
So why?
Well, we haven't found out who the other FA is. They're coming back on Wednesday with their statement, so at least we can see who it is. She didn't remember the name. I'm sure she did, but it'll be on the statement rather than anything else.
And they recommended you guys specifically?
Yes. Yes.
I've never heard of that.
You know me, I'm here. I'm doing this for almost 40 years. I've never heard of it either. So it was kind of interesting.
I mean, I could see if it was a $100,000 account.
Right.
You know, give it to Schwab or give it somebody down the street. But not $1.5 million or something, no.
No, it had to be somebody that had referred Bob and thought it was they're here. They came down. They had just moved. They moved from New York. They were dealing with this woman in West Palm. I think the way the story went, I think it was West Palm Beach, but not really sure. But we'll find out. I thought that was kind of interesting. I like you, have never heard that before.
Now, can somebody live with just municipal bonds?
You know what? The answer is they shouldn't. But in this particular case, they, you know, they do. So it's...
What are they getting? 30 grand a year?
Yeah. They also live in Century Village. So they have a large chunk of cash with a very minimalistic lifestyle.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I felt.
Have you seen their whole net worth and everything?
No, we're going to do that on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just don't see how you can go into the next century for the next 20 years or 10 years even with a municipal bond portfolio only.
No, I don't disagree with you. I look at that and said you have to have, you know, but I didn't want it to be overwhelming. You know, Bob was just meeting with them to open the account. I met with him, but, you know, no, it shouldn't be that way.
But it's sort of a funny story, isn't it, huh? Now, if we had 6% muni rates, I'd say, yeah, sure, let's go. Right?
You're reaching, Rob.
You know, I said I said to my advisor, I said, I'm not, they said, you said you wanted to diversify. And I said, I do. I want to buy munis when you can get me a 6% rate of return. And she laughed. And then we had the Great Recession. And she called me.
Here we go. Right. Well, it's ironic because I did say, one of the things I did get out of them is I said, well, when you buy your muni bonds, have you ever bought, you know, what I refer to as a premium bond? And they said, yes. I said, because you'll get a better return with a premium bond in relation to what's out there. So they were aware of what it was. So I want to see the portfolio.
Yeah. No, I bought, you know, I bought California bonds and I bought Michigan bonds and I bought a bunch of junk at the time, but knew those states wouldn't go under. So I, but you know, why would you buy munis? What are you getting at? Three? Are you getting three?
If you buy a premium bond, you're getting like a 350, 360. You can go there. But I mean, what are you doing with them?
A regular straight coupon is three.
Yeah. Depending on the years.
Yeah.
But again, you look at this particular client living in, I don't think on the West Coast, you don't have a Century Village over there. But a Century Village is, you can go in and buy an apartment for $25,000.
Oh, my
God. And it costs you, yeah, and it costs you nothing to live there. And it could be, you know, a three-bedroom apartment.
I thought you were like Century City or something. You know, I didn't know what Century Village
No,
was.
Century Village. Century Village is not Century City. I mean, it's just, it was really interesting how they built these, for lack of a better term, they're not quite as bad as we have a thing called King's Point here, but it is you know, a barracks type setup. You know, it's walkways on outside the apartments, and you know, it's an old, literally an old line Florida style, and they use it as a base because they said they go to Israel a couple times a year because their kids live there. So for them, their lifestyle is not anywhere near extravagant. So I think that's you know, that's why they do it. You know, but I think there's, as time goes on, it's not that they want to buy equities, but they're better off buying some corporate bonds at some point in time, something that give them a little bit of maybe, yeah. So, but we'll go through that. But it was an interesting referral.
Yeah, just an interesting case.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, so that five-step process, I think, is something that I'd like you to do. Okay.
I'm gonna go back and reread it so I can. Kind of solidify that.
Good, good. The basic premise is, you know, again, moving forward. What are we doing in this meeting? What are we going to do in this meeting? And what are we, you know, what am I going to, in the meeting, what am I closing for? What is our next meeting going to look like? And how is that going to advance our relationship? So, you know, the final meeting is you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Can you enthusiastically endorse? They say, how am I going to get referrals for you? And you say, I'll teach you the enthusiastically endorsed model. And they ask them the question, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? They say, no. Then you introduce them to me. So that's the process. You get them to there, and then every month, your goal is to bring him an introduction. And his goal should be to bring you an introduction. So say, why do I meet monthly for? Because you're supposed to have an introduction for him, because you're asking everybody, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Right.
So if you do your job every month, and he does his job every month you've got an introduction for each other. And you're not shy, okay? The one thing about you I know is that you're not shy. You don't mind asking.
I'm not a shrinking violet, you say.
Right. So
it's really funny that you say that. I just read a book I read a lot of books, and it varies from what I was on a novel. I didn't particularly like the book, but it had some interesting points. In Malcolm Gladwell's newest book called Talking to Strangers,
yes.
When you get past some of the crap that's in there and stuff that, but getting into a room and feeling comfortable having a conversation with regard to whatever the flow of that conversation is, and getting them comfortable with you as a person, and you as, you know, because the book was drilled around, I don't know if you've read it at all, but it's drilled around bad events between police and people that they stop, and good
right.
events of,
yes.
of different meetings. So it's an interesting topic to see where it goes from that standpoint. So
yeah, I agree. I read it. I haven't read it all, but I started it anyway.
I will tell you, it's a very tough book to read. You know, I listened to it, I read it, and it's just, and I usually like his stuff. But I'm that guy that has to finish the book. So,
I've read through all his other books up to now, and I kind of got stuck on this one.
And
so
that's where I
was.
I forced myself. But I think that's an interesting, you know, part of the conversation that you and I are having is the ability to talk to strangers and develop some sort of a relationship. You know, it's
sure.
Little things in my life, you know, remembering somebody's name, calling, you know, when I started in this business, I always wanted to learn the assistant's name. So when I called, you know, I broke that ice and said, hi, Susan, how are you today? Hope all's going well. Is so-and-so in? You know, people like
right.
recognition.
And I did that. I did that cold call.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
person. Yeah, it was brilliant. You know, you remember the assistant's name, and then you chatted up with her, and then she tells you what's going on. You know, it was very good in marketing, prospecting. Anyway, my friend.
Yeah.
5-step process for COIs. That's your homework.
I am going to go back to the book and reread it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
The supernova
All right.
multiplier, the multiplier goes into better detail on it.
What do you remember? What chapter it was?
Chapter. COI is chapter 3, I think. It's the first chapter after the
okay.
introduction.
All right.
Wait a minute. Let me look. Wait a minute. I got it right here. Centers of giving more, keeping score 99, using centers of influence to grow your practice. Chapter 5, page 65 of the Supernova Multiplier.
Chapter 5, page 65. And that happens to be on my night table because my wife took it off the course. She got a new sofa and a coffee table and got rid of all my books. So she dumped them all on my night table. So I know exactly where it is.
Okay. And that's a good chapter to read. It's got good stories in it.
Okay. I will go and get
okay.
it done.
Okay.
All right.
Terrific.
And Rob,
thanks
if I can interject.
Much,
hey, Rob.
Yes.
If
yeah,
I can interject, I don't want him to get his head too large in there, but he has been doing a fantastic job of focusing on his business and blocking out a lot of the other stuff. And definitely a bump in his production, and I would say, you know, 50% of that is because he has more time dedicated to it, but the other 50 is definitely from doing things from the program. So.
Oh, good. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's definitely, definitely working. So I'm not trying to make his head too large in there, but he's
was that the 50 or the
100?
Was that the 50 or the 100? Was that the 50 or the 100 that I had to give you?
What's that?
Yeah,
so.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff. So.
Yeah.
And I put him on a goal to a managed account goal to move money toward manage. He's got a number to do every month, so, and he's heading in the right direction on that as well.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, good. Between the two of us, I think we're going to make it.
We're going to be on the shape.
I appreciate everybody's help, and I'm always willing to take everybody's help, so let's not even think about it. So, all right, until next month.
Okay. Thanks
All right,
for
take
much.
Care, Rob.
Congratulations.
Bye.
All right,
way
thanks.
To go. Thanks,
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.